baptisms last week. I know it was a bit hairy at one point when someone complained because they're trying to do some fishing, and suddenly this all this noise of praise and worship. But it wasn't a wonderful time, and it's just great to see those being baptized and just to share the joy of that, to see all family, friends, and relatives. I was really touched, and it's such a celebration when new people come into the kingdom, and you're just celebrating that family togetherness. So well done, guys, to everyone that was baptized. And if you're thinking about being baptized, come and have a chat, you know, find out a little bit more about what it's about, and it'd be great to baptize some more people as well. So come and chat and find out a bit more about it. Okay, this morning I thought we'd follow on from the baptism, really. Last time I spoke about being baptized and the importance of it, and this time I want to talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit, because I believe it's a real important aspect of being a Christian, is to be filled, to be baptized with God's Holy Spirit. And it's the next step, really. If you've been baptized, it's important that you're full of God's Holy Spirit, because it's one of the foundational truths of what we believe as Christians. So I thought this morning, let's have a look at who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, the difference that it makes. I wonder if you have your Bibles with you, please, if you can turn with me to the book of Acts. That's just after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It goes into Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 7 to start off with. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For truly, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon you. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Sorry, I read another verse there, up to verse 8. I'm just testing to see if you're awake. Wonderful stuff. Right, I want to just bring out some points about the Holy Spirit from this passage that we've just read. And the first part is this. The Holy Spirit is God. You know, sometimes we think about the Holy Spirit, we might think in our minds that the Holy Spirit is some sort of force, a bit like the force from Star Wars. The force is with you, young Skywalker. You know. Oh, yes. You've got to, haven't you? I can't wait until the new one comes out. Really looking forward to the new Star Wars film. I don't know what it's going to be called, but I can't wait. Really, really excited. 2015, I believe it's coming out, isn't it? It's going to be wonderful. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we might have in our mind's eye this idea of the force, but the Holy Spirit isn't a force. Yeah, sure, the Holy Spirit can be poured out, and the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit being poured out like water or coming like wind or fire. So in those senses, we might think, well, the Holy Spirit is an it. But actually, the Bible makes it clear the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is God himself coming to us in the various ways and filling us with himself, with his own presence. So the first thing is, in verse 1, it says, all that Jesus began to both do and teach. Well, that sort of gives us an impression that Jesus, when he was on the earth, he was just beginning his ministry. But his ministry is continuing today. How is it continuing? Through his Holy Spirit. He's still with us. He's still on this earth, but he's on this earth by his Holy Spirit. And he's working through his church by the power of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into his church, and he's working through us now. That's why it's really important to have the Holy Spirit filling our lives. It's God within us. He is the Holy Spirit, and he wants to fill our lives and work through us today. So the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's not three gods, there's only one God, but those three are one. And that can get a bit confusing, because it's a bit beyond us as humans to think about three in one, but there's only one. 3, 2, 1. Yes. Brilliant. Well done, Debbie. So one way to look at it is an egg is one egg, but it's got the yolk, the shell, and the white. Is it called the white? Is that what it's called? Yeah, the white of the egg. Wait until you see the whites of their eyes, the whites of their eggs. So another way to think about it is this. H2O is the chemical formula for water, which I've got here. Thanks for that, David. Really nice. If it was really cold in here, this water would be ice. It's not quite that cold in here today. But if it's really hot in here, this water would become steam. But it's the same chemical formula. It's still H2O, but it exists in three different forms. Well, God is three persons, but he's really one person as well. There's only one God, but he's three in one. And as soon as you think you're understanding that, it sort of eludes our understanding, because God is beyond us in many ways. And he's revealed himself as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son is Jesus. God the Father is the one that Jesus was praying to. He was praying to God the Father, and yet there's only one God. Work that one out if you can. So Jesus was just beginning when he was on this earth to do some work, and now he's going to continue doing it through his Holy Spirit in our lives. So the next bit I want to look at is verse 4. It says in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was one of the disciples then, if I'd seen the risen Jesus, I'd touched him, I'd eaten food with him over a 40-day period, seen him on many occasions, I'd be busting to go out and share the good news. Jesus is alive. He's come back from the dead. It's amazing. We're witnesses of it. We've all seen him. He's alive. I'd be ready and raring to go. But Jesus said, don't go yet. There's something missing. Wait. Wait for the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit. Wait for this to come upon you, this person, God, the Holy Spirit, to empower you to share the good news. You're not ready until you've received the Holy Spirit into your lives. So that tells me we have an urgent need of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are dependent upon him. Remember, Jesus said, you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. And the Holy Spirit really is God remaining in us, coming inside us, empowering us. We need him. We might think we can do it on our own without him. We might think, well, I know enough. I'll just go ahead. He wants to fill us with his Spirit and empower us to do the job effectively. Even Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. In verse 1 that we just read, it says, all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles. Jesus worked his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in the Bible that Jesus was baptized, and after he was baptized, or as he was being baptized, that the Holy Spirit came down like a dove upon his life, and he went into the desert, into the wilderness, and then from there he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do his ministry, to do his work. And he started doing miracles, signs, and wonders. But it was really the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled him to do these things. He modeled something to us, a life dependent on God, rather than depending on our own strength. And he wants us to be empowered in the same way by the Holy Spirit. We have a need of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit in order to be effective witnesses to God? So they're here, the Acts of the Apostles, that's the book we're reading, and they're coming up to the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is the 50th day after the Passover festival. It was one of the three important festivals that the Jews had to celebrate, and all men, Jewish men, would go up to Jerusalem for these three festivals each year. So that would be the Pentecost festival, it would be Passover festival, and also Tabernacles. So each year they would travel up. There would have been many, many people in Jerusalem at this time. And God basically said, wait until that day. Wait until the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And we know the Holy Spirit came at this celebration of Pentecost. Well, what is Pentecost? It was the time when the harvest was gathered in, the wheat harvest, and it was presented before God, and people would say, thank you for these first fruits, Lord. They would prepare two loaves of bread and bring it into the presence of the Lord, and they'd be saying, thank you for this harvest that you've given to us. Well, we know that there was a great harvest on this day when the Holy Spirit came powerfully. What was the harvest, do you think, the real harvest on that day, or the day of Pentecost when God came in power? Yeah, people. It says 3,000 souls were added to the church on that day. Many people see this as the birth of the church. This was the time when the Holy Spirit came, suddenly the church grew. And if we want to see our church here growing, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever, don't we really? That's why when there's a move of God in a place, there's growth. There's growth in numbers. There's growth in spirituality. There's an acceleration. We need God's Holy Spirit. When he comes and does it, it's far more than we can do through our own good deeds or through just sharing ourselves. He does above and beyond what we can do. We need the Holy Spirit. This was also a time, Pentecost, when there was traditionally a celebration of certain things within the Jewish faith. It was traditionally the time when the law was given on Mount Sinai. So they were celebrating God's revelation. They were saying, thank you, Lord, for giving us the Ten Commandments and all the rules that you've given to us. It was also traditionally King David's death. He died on that day traditionally. And I think some people say that he was actually born on that day as well. So a very significant day. But isn't it interesting that God chose the day that he gave the law to give the Holy Spirit? And there's a promise in the Old Testament that God would come and he would write the law, the words of God, on our hearts. It says in the New Testament, we don't need someone to teach us because we have the Spirit of God to teach us. Well, yeah, we benefit from teaching, but really we wear everything up by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We know what the truth is. We have an anointing from God, the Holy Spirit, to weigh up everything, don't we? If I started spouting out a load of nonsense this morning, you'd probably pick up your oranges and chuck them at me and moldy potatoes and stuff. And say, get off, waboo! Because you'd be able to discern by the Holy Spirit that I was coming out with a load of rubbish and you wouldn't be very happy. That's the Holy Spirit. He's our real teacher. He teaches us the truth. He leads us into all truth. And on this day, this was a day that God had appointed for the Holy Spirit to come in power. And that's why he said, wait. Wait because we need God's Holy Spirit. Does that mean now that we've still got to wait? You know, some churches believe in what we call tarrying, which is another word for the word wait. In the old King James Version, the word wait is the word tarry. So he says, don't go ahead and tell everyone about me yet. Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. So in some churches, they have what's known as tarrying meetings, where they wait for the Holy Spirit. They just sit and wait and wait. Let me tell you this. We do not need to sit and wait for the Holy Spirit to come, because the Holy Spirit has come. They needed to wait because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given up until that time in power. That was the appointed time that God had chosen. What we need to do is simply believe and receive. You can receive the Holy Spirit right now. Even as I'm speaking this sermon, you can be being filled with God's Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus, The gift is for you. The promise is for you. And you can receive by faith, simply by saying, yeah, I believe that. You'll be filled. That's what happened in the New Testament. As Peter was sharing with the crowd, suddenly the Holy Spirit just fell upon them. I don't know what happened. Maybe they were going, whoa. Maybe they were like speaking in tongues. Maybe they were prophesying. But there was evidence that the Holy Spirit came powerfully into their lives, even as the preacher was preaching. So we don't need to wait, but the important thing is we do need the Holy Spirit. And we shouldn't live a dry life, but we should live a life flowing with His Spirit. The third thing, verse 4. Let's have a look at verse 4. The Holy Spirit is a gift and not a reward. It says, being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, verse 4, gift. Okay, and the other version I prepared this in, it did say the word gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if your version has got that, or maybe in a different place. I might have got the wrong part. But the Holy Spirit isn't given because... Sorry? Yours says gift. I'm not preaching heresy. Thank the Lord for that. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The reason why the Holy Spirit is called a gift is because He is a gift. We cannot earn Him. Some people think, well, if I've been a Christian for many years, maybe I'll become spiritual like that person there, and I'll have the Holy Spirit as a reward for my service. That's not the way it works. You can have the Holy Spirit, and God wants you to have the Holy Spirit from day one of your Christian life. As soon as you believe, God wants you to be filled with His Holy Spirit, empowered by His Spirit. He wants to be in your life and filling your life, and for you to know that. It's a package deal, really. Jesus died that we would be saved, set free, go to heaven when we die, but also He died so that we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended on high into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father now, and He's at the place of inheritance. He died to receive an inheritance from the Father, and His inheritance is us. He inherits us. He died for us. Yeah, some of us are thinking, well, what inheritance is that? Well, it's a wonderful inheritance because you are beautiful, and I'm beautiful in the Lord. He's died to purchase us, and He wants to fill us. And as He's ascended on high at the right hand of the Father has asked Him to do this, and the Father has promised, if you'll do this, I'll pour out My Holy Spirit on them. We are His inheritance, and we are to inherit His Holy Spirit. It's a package deal. You know, it says in the Bible, even though we are evil, we know how to give good gifts to our kids, don't we? Scalextrics. I don't know what the top presents are this year coming up. Probably something to do with flat screen, iPad-y type things, some sort of apps or something. I don't know what the latest things are, but people want to save up and they want to give the best they can with the money that they have to their kids generally. Well, if we want to give the best that we can to our kids, how much more? God being so much better than us, so much gooder than us, how much more does He want to give the Holy Spirit as a good gift to those who are His children? It says that in Scripture. He gives good gifts, and He specifically mentions the Holy Spirit as a gift. He wants to give you that gift. We can't earn it. We can't earn that gift. It's by grace. It's simply by His goodness to us. And He's a loving, beautiful Father. For some of us, we may not have had the best of fathers. I had a great father, but you may have had a difficult father, and you may not have even known your real father, and that may be an issue in terms of receiving from God. It might be difficult to receive that love of the Father, but God wants to give you a fresh revelation, a fresh realization of what a good dad really is this morning, and that He wants to bless you and lavish His love on you and give you good gifts. And the best gift He can give is His Holy Spirit living in your life. He is a gift. John chapter 7, verse 38 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "He who believes in me, as scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his being," or his belly, right at the center of our lives. That's John 7, verse 38. When Jesus said these things, he was at a special festival, Tabernacles, and there was a water drawing ceremony where they used to draw out water from the pool of Siloam and then pour it out at the temple. And the belief was that a prediction that Ezekiel made, which was that water would come out, living water would come out from the temple and flow out. The belief was that when the Messiah came, that living water would start to flow out from the temple. Wow, exciting. So they were expecting that. And Jesus was standing there on that day when the water was being poured out. And they were wondering, is Jesus the Messiah? And then Jesus says, "All those who are thirsty, come to me and drink. As scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him." So Jesus was basically saying, we are the temples, not the temple in Jerusalem, but he was saying, those that simply believe in him, their bodies will become as the temple, and that river coming from the temple will be flowing from within each one of us. We'll be Holy Spirit carriers, carriers of the Spirit wherever we go. And the beautiful picture from Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel 47, is wherever the river goes, there will be life. It's fresh, living water to replace dead, stagnant, dead sea water. Wherever the river flows, there is life. And Jesus was saying, simply by believing in him, we can have that living water flowing from within us. We can become a water source. We become that source of God's Spirit flowing from each one of us. And wherever we go, life will burst out. That's why when the Holy Spirit came, in the book of Acts, there was life. Everywhere where the church went, everywhere where God's disciples went, they would breathe life into places. People would be popping up, being born again, being filled with the Spirit, being set free from sickness, being healed, and being delivered from dark stuff in their lives. They'd be being set free. They would come into life. So the Holy Spirit is not a reward for hard service. The Holy Spirit is giving simply by, as Jesus said, he who believes in me. Do you believe today? Do you believe that God can fill you today? He wants to fill you. If we believe it, he will fill us. It's not, we haven't got to go, argh! It's when Jesus is saying, he who believes in me, he's not saying, strain as hard as you can in belief. Oh, I know it's not true, but I'm trying hard to believe it. Argh! It's not that. It's simply accepting that it's true, that Jesus wasn't lying, and that I'm no different. I'm not disqualified because I'm a sinner and I've sinned. You're not disqualified because you've sinned. You're now regarded, if you're a Christian, you're regarded as a saint. And he wants to fill you. We don't deserve it, but he wants to fill us anyway. He's good all the time. In fact, remember that sermon a few weeks back about Jesus when he was chatting to the woman of Samaria? Remember the woman at the well who left behind a pot because she was so taken with what Jesus was saying to her? Well, he said this in John 4, verse 10. He said to her, this is a Samaritan woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit there is a gift. And he's saying he's willing to give that gift, that living water. He's using that same metaphor for the Holy Spirit. And he says that this living water wells up. It becomes a source within us, welling up to eternal life. We become carriers of God's life within us. It's great to know that, isn't it? Just like citrus springs. Well, no, that's an orange. That's an orange thing. I was trying to think of a, what was it? Evian. Is it Evian? Evian. Some sort of fresh springs water. Just normal water in a bottle. We can have those fresh springs bubbling up within us, life from God. And just as Jesus was willing, he said, "I would have been willing to give you a Samaritan woman." Remember, the Samaritans and the Jews were arch enemies, yeah? They really didn't get on. If a Jew, Jesus, was willing to give what would be considered an arch enemy the gift of the Holy Spirit, how much more is he willing to give us the Holy Spirit? So if we knew the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit, if we knew the gift of God and who Jesus is and how kind he is, we would ask him and he would give us this gift, this living water. Are we going to ask him today? Because he wants to give us this living water today. He doesn't want us to wait until tomorrow, next week, or we get home. He wants to fill us now, and he wants to keep filling us again and again. Fourth thing, God has made a promise to give the Holy Spirit to all Christians. Verse 4, but wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. He is promised to you. You might not have realized, but the Holy Spirit has been promised to you. If you know you've been promised to something, you're gonna go for it, aren't you? Like if someone has promised to give you £1 million, you're not going to forget about it very quickly. Oh, yeah, £1 million. You're going to be nabbing them and say, hang on, you promised to give me this money. You promised me a job. You promised me this. You promised me that. You go after the person and you ask for that promise. Why don't we go after the person who's promised this? God the Father has promised all Christians the Holy Spirit. Where was this promised? Well, we're in the book of Acts. Let's just flip over to where it was promised. It's in Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. This is one of the places in the Old Testament. Okay, we're in the New Testament, but it's quoting from the Old Testament, from the book of Joel. And in the book of Joel, God makes a promise. And God says this, verse 17, or verse 16. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was God's promise to send his Holy Spirit, not just on the goodies, not just on the older folk, not just on the men, not just on the men are the baddies, it's the women that are goodies. Men are best. God's got no favorites, has he? The men aren't the best, the women aren't the best, the youth aren't the best, the old people aren't. We're all one in Christ. And what this passage is saying is, it doesn't matter what gender you are, it doesn't matter what background you are, what age you are, the gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for all. And that's why it says, on all flesh. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did come upon certain people's lives, but it would be set people that God had chosen to come on their lives. Prophets, they would be filled with God's Spirit and they'd start to prophesy. But it wasn't general that everyone who was a believer had the Holy Spirit. But it is now general that anyone, on the day that they become a Christian, you can be filled, and God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. You don't have to go another day without being filled. The gift, the promise, is for all of us. And let's look at some of the things that are promised that we'll do. It says that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, it's using a generic term there, saying, well, okay, your sons and your daughters will prophesy as an example of, it's not any particular age here, it's any age. Any age can prophesy. This is going to be available to all people. What is prophesying? It's knowing what God is saying. So sometimes you might get a picture in your mind's eye of something that God is saying. It might be a picture of an orange, and God might be saying through the orange, I want you to bear fruit, much fruit or something. You know, I'm just thinking of an example. God gives us pictures, signs, and speaks to us through things. Sometimes God gives dreams to us and gives us the meaning of those dreams and speaks through them. Sometimes God will give us verses from the Bible. We might be worshiping and suddenly a verse pops out and we think, oh, actually, I think God might be speaking to me or speaking to us as a congregation. And we share it. It's prophecy. Sometimes you have just a sense that God is saying something and then you speak it out and you say, I just wonder if God is saying this, and you just sort of share what you believe God is saying. Or some people might actually say, well, they'll speak as if God is speaking through them, you know. And it takes boldness to do that, but God will give us that boldness as he fills us with his Spirit. When you get full of God's Spirit, you're bolder than you were before. Better, stronger, faster, like the $6 million man. You start to step out in faith. You start to offer to pray for the sick and say, well, do you need healing for that? Let's just pray for you and see what God does. And you speak to the sickness and tell it to go in Jesus' name. You take authority in Jesus' name over the sickness. God wants us to be doing these types of things. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to give us new gifts, new abilities. It mentions here about dreams, old men dreaming dreams. Well, I've had a few dreams. It's because I'm old. It's not because I'm old. It could be any age, but you could have dreams from God. The fact is, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are promised to us, and the power of the Holy Spirit is promised to us. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 38, it says this. Peter, remember Peter, Simon Peter, who kept putting his foot in it, and then God changed his life around. He stands up and he says, this is what people needed to do. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That really means that, you know, your sins will be wiped out. And here's the key thing. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You may have been baptized and you may not yet have received that gift of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to receive that gift. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This promise from Joel isn't just for the super duper Christians, mega, mega spiritual. It's for every Christian. Let's receive the promise and let's receive his Spirit. Fifth thing. God wants us to be immersed in his presence, not just dip our toe in a little bit. He wants us to be fully immersed. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 5. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When we were dunking people, they got pretty wet, didn't they? They got pretty immersed. Some of them were trying not to go under, and then I saw Sarah. You're going in. You're going to be immersed. Whether you like it or not, you're going down. They got completely drenched. You know, the word baptism means immersed. It means completely dunked, completely drenched. That's what the word means. So we could translate this, for John truly immersed people with water, but you shall be immersed with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Are you immersed right now with God's Holy Spirit? He wants you to be immersed. Not just a toe in the water. Oh, it's cold. He wants you to get in that river, to get right in the flow. Maybe you've known the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. You've known a release of the Holy Spirit. You've known an overwhelming of his presence at seasons in your life. He wants that to be an ongoing experience, not just as a one-off, but an ongoing, whoa, receiving right now, an ongoing filling of his Spirit as he moves in power in our lives. Whoa, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, and sometimes when we're full of God's Holy Spirit, we might sort of do things that we wouldn't normally do. So you might go, whoa. Sometimes people fall over when they're being prayed for. It's not a bad thing when they fall over. It's not an unpleasant feeling. It's a bit like fainting, if you like, but being conscious at the same time, you know. It's just easier sometimes to let yourself go than to stand, because you're just overwhelmed with the sense of God's presence. Sometimes people might shake under the power of God. Again, it's not an unpleasant experience, but it lets you know that God is there doing something, you know. Sometimes your eyelids might flutter. All sorts of things happen. Sometimes you might just feel something around you. or electricity flowing through, or heat. You know, there's different ways that God will manifest, or that we will react to his presence. Sometimes people cry, sometimes people laugh, and it's just a release of joy. Sorry? Sometimes people feel drunk when they're full of God's Spirit. They feel that sense of intoxication, not in a bad way, but in a good way, by God. You know, he wants to fill our lives, and he wants us to be full as an egg. But you can't get more fuller than an egg, can you? Because it's full. He wants us to be full to overflowing, and that's why he's saying you're going to be baptized, you're going to be immersed in God's Spirit not many days from now. He wants that experience for us. There was a guy called D.L. Moody, and he was a famous preacher, and someone went up to test him and said, D.L. Moody, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? As a test. And his answer became famous. He says, yes, but I leak. So he's basically acknowledging, yeah, I've been filled with God's Spirit, but I need to be filled again. And there isn't just one filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to keep on filling us, for us not to be dry in our Christian lives and struggling on without his power. He wants to be right at the center of our lives. And we can ask him anytime. We don't need to be in a church meeting to be filled with the Spirit. We can be at home. We can be in Tesco's. And we can ask God to fill us, but sometimes he surprises us and just fills us as we're on the go, as we're just going about our daily business, suddenly just have that sense of, well, God's here, you know, and it gives us a refilling, if you like. When God fills our lives, he sets us free. He doesn't want us to be bound by stuff. He'll set us free from addiction to sin. He'll set us free from bad feelings about ourselves, about unforgiveness. He sets the captives free. It says in the Bible, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And when he fills us, we suddenly become bold and not timid. We have his courage within us, and it's good. He's not going to do us any harm. You know, sometimes people see God moving in meetings, and they get panicky. They think, ooh, that's supernatural. That scares me. God's not going to do anything that's going to harm us. He's only going to do things that are good for us. He wants to give good gifts to his children. Yes, he is supernatural because it's beyond natural things, but it's good supernatural. It's not bad. It's God, and he's good. He made us. He knows how we tick, and he only wants to give us good things. So when he gives us his Holy Spirit, good things will come out of our lives. We'll become more patient. We'll be more in control. Not in a bad way of he's a control freak, but actually in a good way of actually, we're in control of our lives rather than in chaos. He'll give us peace. Many people, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they just have an overwhelming sense of God's peace. A sense of feeling clean, feeling God's presence. So lastly, I want to look at the sixth thing. God wants to immerse us in his Spirit. He wants to keep filling us. And in the book of Acts, there's numerous occasions where, for instance, Peter was filled again and again and again, which we won't go into now, but I've got the verses if you're interested. The last thing I want to say is this. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus has given us a Great Commission, a job to do, to make disciples of all nations. We need to be empowered in order to do that effectively. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We serve a God who's alive, he's not dead, and the message that he gives to us to share with the world is not a dead message or a message without any power. It's a powerful message, and God wants to accompany that message with signs and wonders. Just as we read in that promise from Joel, I'll do signs in the heavens above and on the earth below. And then Peter went on to say, well, Jesus did signs and wonders. He was basically saying the Holy Spirit working through Jesus is key for the signs and the wonders, and we can know that within our own lives as well. We can do signs and wonders in the power of God's Holy Spirit, not because we're anything special, but because he's special and he's in us. We are special, but we're special in him, you know. It's not that we are super duper mega Christians and we've earned our way there. He wants to do miracles and to confirm the message through even young new Christians. So you might have literally just become a Christian, just got baptized. You can still pray for the sick and see them healed, according to the Bible, because it's God doing the healing. It's not us doing the healing, it's Him, by the power of His Spirit. We can see people set free from stuff as we pray for them. We can see answers to prayer. We can see supernatural things happening in our lives. And the more that we're filled with God's Spirit, the more we're going to see these things. And God wants us to expect these things. Think about this for being a witness. If just one person is raised from the dead, or one person gets out of a wheelchair and starts walking in Brimau because we've prayed for them, I tell you what's that going to do? Is that going to harm us as a church? Are we going to shrink numbers-wise? We're not going to shrink, are we? These are the power tools that God has given to us through the power of His Spirit. You will receive power to be my witnesses. Let's believe that. Let's believe that the Holy Spirit within us is powerful, and we're not excluded from this promise, but we have the power not only to tell people that Jesus loves them, but also to show people that Jesus loves them by seeing things being set free in their lives. You know, the different things, the gifts that God gives to us through the Spirit, called spiritual gifts, they are signs to an unbelieving world. Even things like the gift of tongues. The first gift here given on the day of Pentecost was speaking in different languages. Now that can freak some people out because they think, what is that all about? Well, actually, it's the ability to pray to God in a different way, in a deep way, in a language that you've not learnt. It's supernatural. But God enables you, your spirit, to pray to Him. You don't know what you're saying, but He can give you the interpretation of what you're saying. Or it can be used as a gift to praise God in a very free way, the gift of tongues. It's often one of the first gifts that people receive when they're filled with the Spirit. Not always. Not everyone speaks in tongues. But often it's a starter gift, if you like, in terms of it helps you sort of like in your prayer life and in your worship. And it's a very useful gift. And the gift of tongues, when used in the right way, can lead people to know Jesus. It did here. Because the Spirit filled the disciples. People were in Jerusalem from different countries. And as the disciples spoke in tongues, the countries represented could hear God being proclaimed in their own languages. Now, the disciples probably didn't even realize that they were speaking whatever languages were being, Italian or whatever, French. Bonjour, tout le monde. And all this sort of stuff. But they were preaching in languages they'd not learned. And that was a sign to people. And I've been in meetings where people have spoken out in a tongue, and there's been people there in that meeting who've actually understood the tongue that was being given. And that's quite powerful. Well, it's very powerful. But usually, when a tongue is given out loud in a meeting, we wait for an interpretation. And that is another spiritual gift. The person doesn't understand that language, but God gives them the sense of what that person has just said. And that's why when we have a tongue given out loud by one person in a meeting, we'll wait for the interpretation. So these things can lead people to know that God is amongst us. The Bible says that prophecy is a key indication that God is amongst us. So the more we get filled with the Spirit, the more we share what we believe God is saying within the meetings, the more powerful that will be for visitors when they come along and they start to think, well, actually, God is speaking to this congregation. Words of knowledge. A word of knowledge is knowing something that you couldn't have known about somebody or situation. And sometimes the word of knowledge is used for healing. So someone might just say, I believe there's someone here who's got a pain here and God wants to heal you this morning. Let's be open to this. God could use you to bring a word of knowledge as we gather together. And someone could get healed through that. Let's be open to whatever God wants to do amongst us. And let's use these power tools that God gives to us. He wants to empower us by His Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish with a quote about Jesus. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. There's a quote given about Jesus, and it says this: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. There's the key. Jesus did the works that he did, the healings, the deliverances of many people's lives, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. He did them because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He did them in the power of God, and we can do the same things as the Holy Spirit fills our lives. We can see people being set free and see God breaking out. So what I've said today is that the Holy Spirit is God. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift, not a reward. The Holy Spirit is promised to all Christians, not just some. The Holy Spirit wants to immerse us, fill our lives again and again. And we need the power of the Spirit to witness effectively, to tell the world about him. Let's just come before the Lord, shall we? We're just going to pray for God to come by his Spirit and to fill our lives afresh. We will do a bit of worship in a second, but I just want us to just still our hearts before the Lord and just to think, Lord, have I been filled with your Spirit? Even if you've never been filled before, you can be filled right now. Let's just wait upon the Lord. Not waiting as in like the tarrying, if I wait long enough, God will do it. You don't have to wait an eternity for God to fill you. It's simply believe and receive. So, Lord, we want to thank you that you're our dad, that you give good gifts to your children. Lord, would you just come now, Dad, by your Spirit, and fill our hearts afresh, just as we simply believe. Wow, come Holy Spirit. Come and fill our hearts afresh. Forgive us for sin, Lord, in our lives. We just bring that before you and just ask for forgiveness for any sins that we've committed that were right on our conscience right now. Would you forgive us because of Jesus, Lord? Come and cleanse us right now. And Lord, we just choose to receive in faith now, to believe and to receive. Wow. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Wow. Let rivers of living water well up within each one of us, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. Say more, Lord. More of you in our lives. You might start to feel the need to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues, you know, when you speak in tongues, you need to speak. Some people think, well, God's going to do it all for me. He's going to take over my lips. But we get the gift of tongues as we start to speak. We don't think about the words we're saying. We just start to speak out. The way I got the gift of tongues was simply by praying for a situation, and I just closed my eyes and just started to pray out between me and God and just started to speak. Lord, I pray that you just come by your Spirit. Set us free this morning, Lord. We just invite you to come. We surrender to you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Fill our lives afresh, Lord. Lord, you said to all who are thirsty, come to me and drink. Lord, we're thirsty this morning. We're thirsty for you, Lord. Will you come and quench our thirst, Lord? Manifestation of your presence. Let your Spirit well up within each one of us now. Lord, I pray for spiritual gifts to be manifest amongst us. Come and manifest yourself in the way that you want to this morning, Lord. Come and have your way. For some of you, Satan is saying you're not worthy of this. You don't deserve this. But Satan's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. But God is good. God speaks the truth. And I just come against all of the works of the evil one, that voice of the enemy. I just come against right now in Jesus' name. I declare freedom for the children of God this morning. Lord, would you come and release faith to receive from you this morning? If you feel God's given you something to share, feel free to share it, you know. Be bold. That's how you get more. When you share what God gives to you, it'll give you more. Maybe you get a picture or something, or a verse of scripture, or just you want to pray out. That's one of the things God brings, is freedom. Freedom in worship, as we're filled to overflowing with Him. Would you be happy to play? More love, more power? Yeah, some blue books there. Praise is just going to lead us in a song. Let's keep receiving. If anybody wants to come forwards for prayer, to receive the Holy Spirit, you want me to lay hands on you or one of the leaders?